Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're not going to use all of this psalm, but I want to read it all. It's a short psalm, and we want to read it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Lord, you're the true, you're the living God. You're the only God. And Lord, we thank you this morning for your word and for your wonderful love for us. Thank you for the Son of God who died on the cross and was buried and rose again for our justification. Thank you, Lord, that we can present Christ today. And Lord, that all folk can be saved if they would desire to be willing to repent and turn to you. So we just pray this morning that the will of God be done in this presenting of the Word of God, that each heart, Lord, would receive what you've got for them and allow, Lord, us to be better after today than we've ever been before. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This past week, I think it was on Monday night. I am not real sure. Monday, usually I try to take Monday off, and I'd been working outside and come in and took my old dirty bibs off and got ready to get a shower and got a shower. My wife thought it'd be a good time to just go ahead and wash my old dirty bibs and my shirt and everything. And I usually take everything out of my pocket, you know. And I did everything. I took everything but my billfold. And she washed my billfold. We've been laundering money this week. I've got a reason for telling you this. And she got everything she could. There were some bills in that billfold, and she took them out, and she was drying them and all that. And a few plastic cards, they was all right. I think about our insurance card and driver's license, they was all right because they was in plastic and everything. Anyway, she got it all out and dried it. And I had of course, the billfold was absolutely gone. And everything in it that was paper was gone. And I had in my drawer there at home, I had a new billfold, but I've had it probably 4 or 5 years. You know, I just stuck it. So I just ran and got it later and everything dried, put it in there. And a while ago, it's time for the offering. And I pulled out my billfold. And I always, on Mondays, write out our check, our tithing check. That's the first thing I do Monday morning. And so I opened my billfold, and I always keep it in one place here. And you're right, it wasn't there. And that was my tithing check. And so I said, I got to do something here till I can get this straightened out. So I pulled out a bill, one of those laundry bills, and gave to the church until I could get that thing straightened out later on. But that's a funny feeling. I don't ever remember doing that before. That tithing check is always right there in its place. And I always write it. Why am I telling you this? I haven't the slightest idea. I just thought you might enjoy it. Amen. And so anyway, Brother Charles, if my tithe is little this week, you understand why Donna washed it. Amen. We'll get it taken care of. Amen. But anyway, we've got a great God. He doesn't do anything or allow anything to happen in our life but what is for a purpose, to teach us and train us and help us. I know he told me not to leave my billfold in my work pants anymore. And I'm not supposed to do that. But there's a lot of things that happen in life for all of us, every single one of us. Sometimes it's the little things of life that you can learn so many things from. I'm going to preach a message this morning from First Psalm. And it's a very simple, basic message, but there's five things that Psalms 1 tells us. If we want to prosper, if we want a life that will prosper, these are five things that must be done. I don't think there's a person here that doesn't want to prosper. No, I don't, and folks, listen, you're getting your mind on just the physical, material prospering. I'm not necessarily talking about that. But have a prosperous life. You see, being prosperous is not what my estate is worth, but what I am worth. What I am worth. That's how we prosper. And some folk may have big estates and still may be worth a lot otherwise. Amen. I was talking about the meditation of the Word of God. I think it's in verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of God, and his law doth he meditate day and night. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, and my mind, you have to understand, kind of goes different sometimes than other people's minds, but I was thinking about a cow. Has four stomachs. Well, you knew that or not. You've learned something this morning. Has four stomachs. And they take and they eat and eat and eat. I've seen our cows walk out there like a typewriter, just walking up down one side, go over to the other side, and head back the other way. I mean, just going. And, you know, and then after a bit, here they go over to a big old tree over there, a shade tree when it's hot like this, and they lay down. And what happens is, I know it's not pleasant, but what happens is they bring that food up into their mouth and re-chew it. And it gets digested. That's what they do. I see our cows doing that all the time. They'll walk over there and they will lay down under the tree just to chewing their cud. Just chewing it. Well, I don't know about how some of you folk feel like, but I am almost sure that my boys, when they grew up, had at least two stomachs. Now, I'm just about sure of it. I never had them x-rayed. But I am quite sure they at least had two. There's nobody, no way in the world anybody could get that much food in one. Now, does anybody want to testify to that? I mean, amen, parents. I mean, you understand, don't you? But anyway, that's what God tells us to do to the Word of God. As you read the Bible, the Word of God, think about it during the day. Think about what God, bring it back up and chew on it. And think about it. And meditate upon it. Think what God's trying to teach you. I think a good practice is, I guess because I'm a simple person. But a good practice for me is I can take one verse of Scripture, just one verse, and think about what it's talking about and meditate upon it. And let God just share some things with me. Talk to me about some things. If you just think about even one verse of Scripture. And just let God do that. I think that's what God wants us to do. I think he wants us to do that in the happenings of life. Why does those things happen? I told you that funny story about but why did that happen? What purpose was all of that for? It's not for naught, folks. We're Christians. Things don't just happen. There's things, little things of life. God just wants to teach you something. And tell you something. And help you along the way through a happening in life. And I'm just saying to you, that's what God does. But we're supposed to take, and I think you can do the same thing with good books. I think you can, I said good books. You can take those good things that you learn out of books and they can be brought up again and think about and meditated on, you know. I'm just simply saying, don't take the Christian life as something that, well, this just happened today. That's not God. When you're God's child, it just doesn't just happen. There's reasons, there's purposes why God does things. They may seem kind of small, in your life, but God has a reason for them. So what I'm going to do is try to show us five things, simple things, that I believe will help you, that's found in Psalm 1, that if we will do them, God says we'll have a prosperous life. And remember what I said about being prosperous. It's not what you've accumulated, but what you've given to be prosperous. It's not what you have in the bank. It's what you've taken out of the bank and used for the glory of God that a man is prosperous. It's the spiritual blessings of God that's in your life. I mean, just stop and think about it. I really don't, in my own mind, I don't think God cares if his people have some things. I really have never believed that. I think it's okay with God, but he don't want them to have us. And I think he's much more interested in the spiritual part of our life than he is the material part of our life. Amen. So that's why he tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He wants us to be a prosperous person spiritually. He wants us to prosper spiritually. Amen? Now that may be hard sometimes for people to grasp that, because they're so caught up in the things of the world. And the world has such a grip on them that that's all they really think about. That's all the desires of their life is. But that's not God's desire for your life. God's desire for your life is you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to become more like him. Verse 3 of chapter 1 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." What man is he talking about? Well, he tells us in the first two verses what man he's talking about and what he's dealing with here. That's what will cause us to prosper. So first of all, the very first thing he tells us in verse number 1 is, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now we're going to stop there a moment. We're going to talk about that. It's a very simple statement. Now I want to say first of all, and I'm sure that you understand this, but there is no such thing as a blessed man unless he's a saved man. That's an impossibility. You can't really be a blessed man, not God's blessed way, unless you're saved. There has to be a time when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. A time when you've truly been born again. Not faked it, but truly born again. Born into God's family. That's the blessed man. Amen? I think you agree with that. We're blessed today. You're blessed today. And I'm blessed today because I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's the greatest blessing any man can ever have. There is none greater than that. Amen. I can look at my family and I look at my wife and I think about all the blessings of God that I have received from my family. I'm serious about that. You can do the same thing. I can too. I look at my family. Thank God for my family. They're not perfect people. I'm not a perfect people. But thank God for my family. I get so many blessings. I tell people all the time, I love to watch my grandchildren. A lot of times they don't even know I'm watching them. But I love to watch them. I love to see them grow. It's fun. It is fun, I'm telling you. It's fun to see your children go forward in life and the things that they're doing, and just to watch them and be a part of their life and see the kids grow and mature and make their mistakes and get them right and maybe jump over here and make another one or whatever, but they just keep going. And because you know what? That's what I did. Did you? I did too. But it's fun. The blessed man is the man who knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and those blessings that come in because of that. Oh my, is just absolutely blessings. You can't compare them to anything else. Money just does not have it. That's not what God's talking about when he talks about prospering. Amen. So he tells us, well, if you want to prosper, if you want to have the right kind of life, what are you going to do? He tells us there, as I said, in blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. First of all, let me say to you, young people, adults alike, a lot of times we give a lot of information to the young people because they've still got a lot of years ahead of them, much more than we do. But they've still got a lot of years. They're growing up. But you know, we adults can take this same counsel. Don't seek the counsel of the ungodly. Let me say this to you, young folks. You need, above all, you need to listen to the godly counsel of your parents. Now, I'm serious about that. You need to listen to the godly counsel of your parents. You don't go out and seek the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, they're some of your greatest counselors. Why? Because they love you like no one else loves you except God. Amen? They really do want good for you, sometimes when you don't think they do, but they do. The little ones, when they get a whipping, don't think mom and dad want good for them, but they really do. But seek out the counsel of the godly, not the ungodly. There's people around, even in our church right here in Blessed Hope Baptist Church, who will give you good counsel. As a pastor, I want to give you good scriptural counsel. Let me say to the parent, let me say to the pastors, we must give you spiritual, scriptural counsel. Don't give your children counsel that are not godly counsel and spiritual counsel and scriptural counsel. Give them counsel that it comes from the Word of God and principles and precepts of God's Word. Give them that kind of counsel, not something you've just come up with or you think was good. No, it has to be according to the Bible, according to the Word of God. What does God say about this matter? That's the counsel that they should get. I think also there's true and wise Christians right here in our community, right here in our congregation, that you need to seek counsel from. Don't be afraid to come to them. If they're wise, true, faithful Christians, listen to their counsel if they give it to you from the Word of God or principles and precepts from God's Word. Listen to them. Young people, there's a lot of folk around here that love you. Maybe they don't love you in the same way that mom and dad loves you. But I want to tell you something. There's folk who do love you. We do care what happens to you in the future. And so God is saying, don't receive counsel from the ungodly. Please don't go out and get counsel from the unsaved. They can't give you the counsel you need. They don't know what it is. You know, I understand and I realize that, you know, a lot of times in the public school situation, they have what they call counselors. Okay? And listen, and that does not mean that every person in there is a mean no count. But let me say this to you. They may be able even to counsel you on how to work on a lawnmower or how to learn math. They may be able to do that. But if they're not saved, they cannot counsel you on the values of life. The matters of life. The matters of morals. They cannot counsel you on it because they don't know. If they're not saved, they don't know. So you've got to be careful who you seek counsel from. That's why we continue to encourage, and I will always encourage you, to get your children in a Christian teaching situation. Get them in a Christian school. I'm just saying to you, that's proper, that's right. But let me say to you, if for some reason you don't let the world counsel your children. Don't let them do it. God says you're not to seek the counsel, you see, of the ungodly. So be very, very careful. Would you honestly, and I'm talking about the matters of life and moral values and things like this, would you want an unsaved person counseling your little daughter or your little son about those kind of things? Would you want that? That's what God is saying. Don't seek the counsel of the ungodly. Seek the counsel of the godly. So now God says if you want to be prosperous, that's one of the first things you'll do. You do not seek the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? Secondly, he says, and the counsel of the ungodly nor standeth in the way of sinners. I want to take a moment and just talk to you. You notice he talked about walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What God is saying is this: when you seek counsel from ungodly, it becomes then a matter or a way of life for you. You not only seek the counsel, you make it your way of life. You make it the way of the sinner. We'll talk about it in a little while, but then it becomes, when you sit, you become the teacher of that way. We'll talk about that. But folks, listen to me. God says you're not to stand in the way of the sinner. What happens when you seek counsel from the ungodly? It's going to become a way of your life. That's why young people goes out here and they begin to dress in such a way that's ungodly. You know why? Because they've sought the counsel of the ungodly. They've watched the ungodly dress. So you know why they're going to dress that away? It's because the ungodly has dressed that away, and they now are going to stand in the way of the sinners. They're going to do just like the ungodly does. They've got their counsel from the wrong place. Okay? So God says, you not stand in the way of sinners. In other words, don't run with the wrong crowd. The crowd is going to absolutely influence the way you dress, the way you act, the places you go. The crowd you run with is absolutely going to influence that. It's going to become, you're going to become that way. You're going to stand in that way. Why? Because you've sought their counsel. You've been around them. You're going to become just like them. And God says, if you want to prosper, you ought not to stand in the way of sinners. Let me say something. Bad company will cause you to fall every time. We could go back to the scripture, but we would look at a man called Solomon. One of the first things after Solomon was put into the kingship. You know what one of the first things he did was? One of the first things, he married Pharaoh's daughter, which Pharaoh was king of Egypt, married Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into Jerusalem. What a move. Did it stop there? Oh, no. The Bible even mentions that Pharaoh's daughter, he married Pharaoh's daughter, but he also had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines, which turned his heart. You know what? Wrong company. Wrong associations. Now, you say that happened to Solomon, but that won't happen to me. Yes, it will. You'll be standing in the way of sinners. Why? Because you've sought the counsel of the ungodly, just like Solomon did when he brought Pharaoh's daughter into his household in Jerusalem. It wasn't long. He just kept getting worse and getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. You can look in the life of Samson the very same way, and there's other examples in the Word of God, but Samson did the very same thing. Samson began to be around the wrong kind. We could go through a list of people he got, he had was the wrong influence, but you always remember Delilah. Wrong people to be around. Because of it, he got his eyes put out, and he was grinding meal in the grinding on the grinding wheel. Why? Wrong company. See, right now, everything looks so great. Everything looks so good. Boy, we're young. We can do everything. No, what's good? What's the ending of all this? It's going to be determined on where you're standing, what counsel you've sought, where you're standing. In other words, what you have become. That's your way of life, and that's what he's talking about when he talks about standing here. You know, that can happen to adults. It's not young people. You've got to be careful, folks, in your jobs and in your businesses and all of these. Are you standing in the way of sinners, or are you walking with God? Are you seeking counsel from godly people? I don't know about you, but I have counselors. I have not arrived. I have not got so smart that I don't need counselors. Amen. A lot of times when we're sitting in a deacon's meeting, I'll talk to them. I'm not asking them to tell me what to do. They're not going to tell the preacher what to do, but I seek their counsel. What do you think would be best to do? I want to know. And if they can't give me counsel, they're useless. I didn't say I would always take everything they said, but I seek their counsel. I have preachers who I call when I need counsel. I won't tell you who they are. You don't know who they are. You'd probably be surprised if you did, but you don't know. But I have counselors. When I run into something that I'm not sure of, I get on the phone and I talk to my counselors. Amen. So I believe, and I'm just simply saying to you, we need counselors. Why? So that we won't stand in the way of sinners. Amen. I'm saying to you, when you choose friends, you better choose the right friends. Because friends is either going to help you to deceive this old world. I know young people that help in hiding deception from another teenager. They hide it. They help them. Well, that's deception. That's shame. And they're not good counselors. They're not good friends. They'll hurt you and help destroy you, not help you. When you young people do get to the place where you want to call it courtship, you better be sure what you're doing. You better make sure that dear person that you think is so dear is the one God wants for you. You better mark it down. You better know. And you better seek the counsel of some people who love you and will give you counsel. Oh, and by the way, while I'm talking about it, the people around Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I think some people don't think that the pastor has any rule around here. Brother, you better figure on I do. And I don't want any young people out in those cars or around those cars or on the dark side over there, any of them, after church. I want them over here on this side in the lights. Why do you want to be in darkness for? Get yourselves over here. It's off limits to you. I mean, it's off limits. And say what you wanted to. Mom and Dad said, no, not around here. Pastor says it's off limits. You want them to do it at home? Take them home and let them go around the barn somewhere. That's your business. Oh, I wouldn't do that. But you let them go in darkness out here. No. See, I'm giving you some good counsel. Amen. Giving you good counsel. See, you need to get counsel. Why? So you won't stand in the way of sinners. Amen. You know, that's why in a church, you want to keep a church. You don't want to stand in the ways that liberals stand. You don't want liberals coming in and running your church. I don't care if a liberal comes in and listens and learns the truth. That's good. But he isn't going to run this church. No way. No, we're going to stand with the Bible. We're going to keep it straight down the line. Just like I'm trying to do some counseling this morning. Amen? Sure. So God says we ought to associate with the right crowd. We ought to walk the narrow way, not the broad way. Amen? The narrow way, not the broad way. He also tells us in verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, what happens is when you get counsel from the ungodly, it becomes your way of life. You stand in the way of sinners. Then when it talks about sitting in the seat of the scornful, he's talking about you then become the teacher. You see, he told them over in Matthew 23, he told them, the scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. In other words, he was saying, do what they say, because they was the givers at that time, the givers of the law. The law was good. But he said, don't do like they do, because they don't even mind the law. They tell you to, but they don't even mind it. Amen? So what happens is, not only do you get the counsel from the ungodly, You stand in the way of sinners. You become what that counsel has given you. And then pretty soon, you're the teacher of it. You're being the example all to other kinds of people. You're sitting in the seat of the teacher. When you begin to act like that and show other people and be an influence on other people, you are influencing other people. You have become a teacher. And God said you're not to sit in the seat of the scornful, you see. You know, in talking about scornful, do you know where people, how people become critical in spirit? Do you know how that happens? They have sought counsel from critical people. And they have become like critical people. And then they are going out and spreading their critical attitude. They become a teacher. That's the way they got there. It's a process. Do you know how a person becomes a slanderer of other people? They've sought its counsel. They have become one themselves, and then they go out and practice it, teaching their children and other people how to be a gossip. Right. 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 Amen. You know, you can sit here today. Thank God, I'm just giving you what God told me to give you. But you can sit here today, and you know whether you're a gossip or not. You know whether you gossiped this week or not. You know it. You know whether you was a part of it. You had something unkind or critical to say about somebody else. You know that. In your hearts, you know it. You know why? Because you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're not only practicing it, you're teaching other people to do it. Dangerous thing to teach your children to sit in the seat of the scornful. They'll soon become teachers also. Amen. I'm just simply saying to you folks, God doesn't want us to sit in the seat of the scornful. You don't want to become a teacher of all of these things. You want to be a learner. And the way you're going to do that is seek the counsel of the godly, not the ungodly. Amen. I just want to show you something real quick over in Psalms. Hold your place there in Psalms 1, but in Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I just want to read one verse of scripture to you. 165th verse. Listen to this very carefully. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, when you read that, you look at that, and you say, you mean there's nothing in the world going to offend you? Well, I want to tell you something right now. Sin offends me. That's not what God's talking about. He said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In other words, the preaching of the word of God, or the word of God that you get when you read the word of God, will not offend you, because it is the word of God. It will not offend you. No, it won't. No, it won't. It won't offend you. You know why? I've had multitudes of people. I myself, in all seriousness, after I was saved, I want to tell you something. There were some times that preacher literally scalded me from the top to the bottom. I've walked out of services before, felt like I'd been in scalding water. But I want to tell you right now, I had to deal with it, but I want to tell you right now, never, never did I look back at that old preacher or the Word of God and say, that oughtn't to be in the Bible. And what I said was, woe is me. Thank God for the scalding that I got down through the years, and I still get it from God's Word. Well, you do or not, but I do. Thank God for it. And you know what? It doesn't offend me when the Word of God scalds me. No, it doesn't. No. It won't offend me. You know why? Because I do love the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. I know it's the truth. And I'm not going to be offended by what God says. I just need to listen to it and repent and do right. Amen? So don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Next thing he tells us to do, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's verse number 2. The fourth thing he tells us to do is to delight in the Word of God. Folks, listen, in all seriousness, we ought to honestly delight in the precious Bible, the Word of God. It ought to become our delight. When we read the Word of God, it ought to be something that thrills our soul. Yeah, it may get on us once in a while, but I want to tell you something, that's okay. It's what it's supposed to do. But it not only gets on us, it encourages us and strengthens us. We ought to delight in the Word of God. I'm going to take you over to the book, Psalms 119 again. Should have had you hold that. But I want to read to you something from God's Word, a few verses from God's Word. Folks, listen, it is right. It is right, according to the Word of God, that we should delight as we read God's Word. It ought to become a delight to us, an exciting delight to us. Look in chapter 119. I want to just read some verses. We'll skip around some. Verse 47 and 48. He says, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." The psalmist here was talking about how much the Word of God meant to him. He delighted in the Word of God. Look at verse 72. "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Boy, isn't that a statement? I mean, that's something. I mean, the Word of God, the commandments of God, the statutes of God is more important than gold and silver to this psalmist. Whew, that's something. And you notice also in verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, though, through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." If you read this psalm, you read all of it, you'll just be surprised at over and over and over what the psalmist says about the Word of God and how he loves the Word of God, how it's become sweet to his mouth. Oh, it's sweeter than honey, he says, to his mouth. Look over in verse 113. He says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Look at verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine silver. Look at 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. Look at verse 131. He says, I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Over and over and over through this psalm, God is saying, this psalmist is saying how he loves the Word of God. That's why in Psalm 1 here he says that the Word of God is his delight. Now, you want to be prosperous? Do you want to be prosperous? Make the Word of God your delight. Well, that's one of the things that God says, because in verse 3 is what he says. It talks about being that kind of a man is going to be prosperous. Amen. So let the Word of God be your delight. And then also, we're going back to Psalm 1. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what he's telling us? He's telling us to meditate upon the Word of God day and night. We was talking a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning, but folks, listen, take some of the Word of God. Take some of the Word of God and let it be your delight for that day. Just meditate upon it. Think about it. Just give thought to it. Meditate upon it. God says day and night. How many times have you had a sleepless night when you wake up, instead of being mad, you stop and think about the Word of God, think about what God's trying to say to you? I've got a lot of sermons in the middle of the night. You think about the Word of God. You meditate upon it. You think about it. I want you to go with me over, and I know you're familiar with this, but the book of Joshua, the chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. Listen to what he says. in verse number 8. I want you to listen very closely what he says. Chapter 1, verse number 8. This book of the law, chapter 1, verse 8 of Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Folks, listen, he's given us instruction there to meditate upon the word of God day and night. Think about it. Put it into practice in the decisions you have to make today. If you're in the night, then think about what you're going to do tomorrow and what God's trying to show you and teach you. Meditate upon the word of God. And he says, meditate therein day and night, that thou, why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Yes, he says, meditate upon it. Why? And put it into practice. Do what it says. Why? Then you'll be prosperous. Amen. He's not talking about money, folks. Get our mind off of money. He's not talking about money. He's talking about life. He's talking about the matters of life and the values and morals of life. He's talking about those things. And the way you learn those is meditate upon the word of God and you'll be prosperous. Amen. Do you think that woman that gave her two mites was prosperous? I want to tell you, in the eyes of Jesus Christ, she was very prosperous. And she gave all she had materially. Prosperous lady. Got mentioned in the Bible, the Word of God, and commended by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about, over in Psalm 77, it talks about the song, that God gives a song in the night. If you haven't learned the blessings of the nighttime song, you ought to learn it. It's a wonderful song. That God gives the song in the night. It's a blessed thing. It's quiet. He doesn't have to try to overcome all of those noises of a busy life that everybody has. But he gives you a song in the night. Amen. God says meditate upon the word of God. Meditate upon the Bible. So what does he tell us? Well, he said not to seek the counsel of the ungodly. Number one, quit getting your counsel from the ungodly. That'll never work. Stand in the way of sinners. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't let that counsel become a way of life to you. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. No, delight thyself in the word of God. Good teachings, and meditate upon it day and night. You know what he says? Well, let me read. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want a prosperous life? Follow the principles that God taught in the book of Psalm, number one. Follow its principles. You see, you'll be like a tree planted by the waters, strong and sturdy and stable. Amen? Amen. And you'll produce fruit. And your leaves won't fall off. In fact, you'll be a shade for other ones. Help and a blessing and a shade for others. Amen? Because of that, you'll be prosperous. I don't know what he'll do financially. I'm talking about prosperous spiritually. A prosperous life. I really mean this, bottom of my heart. I'd rather come to the end of my life with not one dime to my name. I'm serious about this. I'm like everybody else. I've got needs. I've got things that I would probably desire. If someone asked me, I've got things I would desire. I have those things. But I want to tell you, I would rather come to the end of my life broke, without a dime. I would rather do that if I could just be prosperous in the Lord. My life has meant something for the work of God. That's more important than all the money and all the gold and all the silver that you'll ever have. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again today, as we extend this invitation, we just trust, Father, and I know you're here. I know you're present, and your word has been proclaimed. I just pray, God, that each one of us will allow the word of God to do the work in each of our hearts that needs done. And Father, I just pray that your will be done in every life here today. That the response to the invitation will be because of the Holy Spirit of God dealing and working and calling people unto yourself. We put it in your hands, asking you to have your will and way. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.